trying to slay the deficit dragon.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama says he'll seek a three-year freeze on domestic spending starting in 2011. It is an effort to reduce the federal budget deficit, but less than a quarter of the budget will be targeted. Defense, Veterans Affairs, and Homeland Security spending are exempt. So is aid to foreign countries. Now, cutting the deficit is a big growth industry in D.C. these days. Today, the Senate could vote to create a commission to help secure the federal government's fiscal future. From Washington, Brett Neely has more.
The Deficit Cutting Commission is part of a bill that will let the government borrow an additional $1.9 trillion. The government's borrowing has federal budget expert Joe Minerick worried, which is why he's for some kind of commission.
We are piling up debt at a rate faster than our economy is growing.
Many economists say taxes have to rise and spending on Medicare and Social Security has to shrink to tame the deficit. They say a commission would give lawmakers political cover by making the tough proposals that neither party wants to put on the table. But the plan before the Senate isn't realistic, says economist Bruce Bartlett, who advised the Reagan and first Bush administrations.
The problem right now is that there is no real agreement on the necessity or the magnitude or the composition of deficit reduction.
Bartlett blames his own party, the Republicans, who have ruled out any tax increases to fix the deficit.
And I think that's just plain stupid.
Bartlett says until the parties work together, a commission won't accomplish much. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
It's another day of stock selling overseas. Shares in Europe are mostly lower right now, about 0.8%. Asian markets lost an average of 2% today. China's curb on lending and slower than expected growth in South Korea to blame. On Wall Street, after last week's near free fall, the market got a little wind at its back yesterday. The Nasdaq tacked on 0.5%. The S&P and Dow added about 0.25%. The Dow closed at 10,196. Investors like the fact that there's less doubts about the confirmation of Ben Bernanke as Fed chairman. With all the news of big bonuses and bailouts, how much anger is there against corporate America? Today, in the West, we're going to find out at the ballot box. From Oregon Public Broadcasting, April Baer reports.
From day one, the campaign to pass Measures 66 and 67 has been a study in class warfare.
Wall Street took billions in bailouts.
A lot of these same corporations only pay the $10 corporate minimum tax.
A nasty fight over the state budget ended with Democratic leaders proposing two changes: a tax increase for Oregon households earning more than $250,000 per year, and changes to the way Oregon taxes businesses, which have only had to pay a $10 maximum since 1931. Today's results are a possible barometer of what to expect in November. Some also see it as a test tube for campaign finance. This election cycle, the rest of the country will get in step with a longtime Oregon reality: no limits for corporate and union spending on political causes, thanks to a recent Supreme Court decision. Steve Novick is a spokesman for the Yes on 66 and 67 campaign.
You would think that if these measures were going to destroy business in Oregon, that business folks would have raised billions of dollars to oppose these measures.
In fact, the union-backed Yes campaign has outspent business-funded opponents by almost $1 million. In Portland, Oregon, I'm April Baer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, for 158 years providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at MassMutual.com.
A week ago, Massachusetts voters elected Republican Scott Brown to fill Ted Kennedy's longtime Democratic seat. And now it's become a lot harder for Democrats to get an agenda through Congress. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich is with us this morning to look ahead. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So now, after the last tumultuous week, is health care reform dead?
Well, something will be enacted that the president can call the first installment of health care reform, probably including regulations of the health insurance market, such as stopping insurers from denying coverage on the basis of pre-existing conditions. Democrats remember what happened in 1994 when they were in power but failed to pass any health care reform bill. Now, the problem is Republicans remember it, too, which means Senate Republicans won't give that 60th vote without a huge fight. Senator Olympia Snow could still be the dealmaker.
And what about other items on the congressional agenda, such as the cap and trade?
I'm afraid no way. The drop in public support for the health care bill, combined with a growing anti-incumbent mood, is making Congress even more gun-shy than usual.
And does the not-to-do list include immigration reform, Bob?
It's going to be hard to pull off with so many Americans unemployed. But Hispanics represent an important voting bloc, and most are in favor. So Democrats may want to push a vote on this just to corner Republicans.
And what about financial regulatory reform?
Oh, that's looking much more likely, Steve. The lesson Democrats took away from Scott Brown's victory last week is the surge of populist anger among voters. But it's hard to act populist without a target for your indignation. Now, Tea Partiers and Republicans are targeting big government. So the easiest target for the Democrats are the fat cats on Wall Street, as the president called them. Problem is, there's no agreement in Congress on what should be done, and the president's proposals, you know, for limiting the size and riskiness of banks and what they can do if they have secured deposits are still on the drawing board.
And speaking of the president, what's he going to say in tomorrow's State of the Union address?
Well, I don't expect him to be contrite or defensive about where things are right now, Steve. My betting is we'll hear about some new initiatives to jumpstart jobs and a commission to devise ways to reduce the budget deficit. The president will also reaffirm his commitment to health care reform and reforming Wall Street. The most important thing he has to do tomorrow will be to connect the dots and give Americans an overall vision of where he wants to take the country at this point. And so far, he hasn't done that, and that has hurt him.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich and professor of public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
In Greenwood, Indiana, a man and woman are reportedly going door-to-door asking people for $52, saying they need the money to help State Representative Woody Burton save electricity. It's a nice gesture if Burton's office knew about the plan and if the crooks told residents how, in fact, the money would help. Police say if you want to help save electricity, turn off some lights. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online. Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org, and you can get the podcast there as well. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.